Now, you might remember just a few weeks ago, I spoke to you about the words of John the Baptizer that were spoken before today's Holy Gospel reading in Luke chapter 3, verse 7 through 8. Our reading today is Luke chapter 3, 15 to 22. And this was when John boldly chastised the Pharisees, saying, "You brood of vipers!" And that really wasn't a compliment by any means. "Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that from out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham." John was telling them plain and simple. It is about who you believe in, not who you're related to. He was saying that people are to bear fruit in what they do. John's word penetrated right into the heart of the sinner and brought them to their knees in repentance. Now, that kind of preaching and power only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Of course, not everyone who heard them would repent. Many would walk away while still lost in their sin. Many would hear his message, and they would turn away from their behavior, repenting, and then allow John to baptize them in the Jordan River. God had him baptize so many people that he became known as John the Baptizer, or as we call him, John the Baptist. I reminded you at that time that the Greek word for getting the word out is called keruso. Now, believe it or not, when I was in high school, a lady who served lunch in our cafeteria with a little net on her head was named keruso. And so when I learned Greek in seminary, guess what stuck with me forever? Keruso, proclaiming, preaching, getting the word out. And so I will not and shall not forget that word. Keruso means preaching, proclaiming. Well, essentially living God's word so that others would benefit from our efforts. John the Baptist preached in the wilderness, just as you and I are in a wilderness of sorts today. We live in a fallen world with people who are always looking or searching for something, who are broken and who are hurting. And that something that they're looking for has a name. His name is Jesus. How we respond makes all the difference. John preached about the coming harvest of men's souls, and that message is just as real today as it was way back when. John said that Jesus was coming. Jesus, the master builder, the chief cornerstone, the very Son of God, who had all power in heaven and earth, was coming for a purpose. John proclaimed the truth in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29. "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Not just the sin of St. Andrew's Anglican Church or any of the other churches in the Coffee County Ministerial Association, or for that matter, any other church. We need to be living and preaching the truth of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The Gospel of Matthew in chapter 3 gives us a very similar view of John the Baptist that Luke wrote, with his warning the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He went on to say, "The axe is at the very root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." John was truly an inspired man who loved to proclaim, keruso, the truth about the one who is more powerful than I, and that he was coming soon. Luke's gospel reading today offers up another view, as John wants to clarify for people that he is not the Messiah, saying, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. And he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. John didn't mince words, not by any stretch of the imagination. He spoke the truth, even to the point of letting Herod the Tetrarch have it, both barrels, because he was living in sin with the adulteress Herodias. It was not at all popular, but it was the truth. I can't help but be reminded of Jesus' words recorded in John 8:32, which, by the way, are at the center of the compass rose, which is the seal of the Anglican Communion. Those words are in Greek, but the English translation speaks about aletheia, a Greek word called truth. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus spoke the truth always, even to the point of people wanting to kill him. John spoke the truth about Jesus when he called Jesus the Lamb of God. And then God himself would reveal the truth about Jesus when John baptized him. As today's Gospel of Luke says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And the voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." In the Gospel of Matthew, this was recorded. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased." This event is also recorded in Mark chapter 1, verse 11. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Imagine hearing the voice of God speaking to you, alerting to you what was really happening around you, or even guiding you how to live the rest of your life. People tend to doubt or disbelieve someone when they tell of hearing the voice of God speak. It's not an everyday occurrence. Let me give you an example of how God got my attention back in June of 1999, while at the Jordan River with my family and with our bishop, the then Father Neil LaBarre, along with his wife Marcia, and their son, by the way, Peter, who is studying to be a priest. And I had some severe nerve damage in my right leg. As a matter of fact, I was really unable to move it and pretty much dragged it around wherever I went. And I was in constant pain. Father Neil offered for Marilyn and I to recall our baptisms in the Jordan River. For Marilyn, we put on those white gowns that they give you, and we went down the steps into the water, and these little tiny fish are biting at your feet. Marilyn went under first, and as she came up, it was then my turn. And I went under, and as I came up from the river, everybody and everything was bathed in a white light. It's really indescribable. Then my right leg began to burn, went numb, and the pain's been gone ever since. I didn't realize that a year almost to the day that I would have my left knee replaced and I would need my right leg to be able to get around with walker and crutches. But God knew ahead of time what I needed. God certainly had my attention, to say the least. And others could see what took place as I ran up out of the steps of the Jordan. Well, I got to tell you, at a diocesan conference not too long ago, I mentioned about Peter LaBarre. What a dear young man. He was about 10 years old or so on the trip. It was a multi-generational trip. And he said to me at the diocesan council, or meeting, he said to me, You know, that was the first miracle that I ever witnessed. And he said, I since have seen other miracles, but it was by that that I knew how to recognize a miracle had taken place. That meant a lot to me. As I said, he also is now studying for the priesthood. Well, that's not the end of the story, because 2 days later at En Gedi, a place called En Gedi in the Negev desert, Marilyn and the kids went to the top of the mountain to see the waterfall where David hid from King Saul. And I remained at the lower waterfall with two other people. We shared our favorite psalms, had some prayer, and then some quiet time, during which I heard somebody call out, John! And I said, what? And the person next to me, the Reverend Lynn Ashmead, told me, no one said anything. So I closed my eyes, and I listened to the voice call my name again. I knew this time who was speaking. And he showed me an image of myself dressed as a priest in a white alb, that's what this is called, a white alb, but a green stole, making the sign of the cross over the bread and wine at the table. With that, the voice once again spoke and said, you must do this in grateful obedience. I was stunned, but I knew that God had gotten my attention with the miracle of healing and then speaking to me to direct the rest of my life. As I opened my eyes, I saw Marilyn and the kids coming down the mountain, and so I ran to tell them, and right behind them was Father Neil. So I told him, and he welcomed me, his senior warden, at the time of Church of the Redeemer, to the process. Well, I looked at Father Neil and I said, what is the process? And he said, it's a huge mountain, but you and I will climb it together. And you know what? He sure did and continues to. While this was a very special part of our lives, it really is a part of God's story, using us for his honor and his glory. This was God showing that his love and his voice are everlasting. When Marilyn and I had to attend the Bishop's Advisory Council on Aspirants to the Ministry at Camp Weed in Florida, and it was in 2001, I was an aspirant to the ministry, still senior warden, but an aspirant to the ministry. And we had to go through a process of meeting with all of these priests and psychologists and professionals that were a part of the Commission on Ministry. And there was this psychologist priest in one of the rooms. He looked at me and he said, you know, a lot of times people want to get into the priesthood so that they can be idolized, people can get to love them. And I looked at him and I said, you haven't read my resume then. I said, I've been a radio disc jockey in New York, and I've done an awful lot with listing all the groups that I had announced on stage at places, really large places, venues in New York. And he looked and he said, well, how many times have you heard the voice of God? And I looked at him and I said, once, just once. Well, that was the end of it. He understood. And so did I, that I understood that there would be people who questioned what I heard. Just yesterday, Marilyn posted something on Facebook from a page called Warrior Women. I don't hang out there, I should say, but she likes to look at things like that. And what she posted rang true with the experience of our calling. It said, not everyone will understand your calling. It wasn't a conference call. No, this was very personal. At least in these biblical instances, there was more than one person that heard his voice. Witnesses to concur with God speaking and being heard and telling the world the identity of his son, Jesus. Gladly, there were other examples of God the Father speaking to the world about his son. Jesus took Peter, James, and John to a mountain, and there, while he was still speaking, as Matthew's gospel in chapter 17, verse 5 says, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." We call that the transfiguration. It's also recorded in the Gospel of Mark. My brothers and sisters, God is alive and can speak to people when they stop talking long enough to listen. His love and his voice are everlasting. Now, you might say, well, I've never felt a calling on my life. Well, maybe it's not to the ordained ministry of a deacon or a priest. Maybe it's to go to seminary to learn and be a teacher. Maybe it's a call to be a vestry member, to be a senior warden, to be an officer of the church, as a lay Eucharistic minister, or as a lector, to read God's word. Those are all calls on people's lives. You may not realize it. Maybe you just got a sense in your heart that God was saying, you know, you really ought to attend that confirmation class and reaffirm in front of the whole congregation your love for Jesus. Whatever it may be, maybe it's to just be the best mom you can possibly be and bring your boys and daughter up to the way that they should be. Maybe it's to be a witness to others about the horrors of people and the evil that can be in their hearts. Whatever it may be, listen to God's voice on your heart. It may not be audible. It may be a still small voice that you hear whispered in your ear. That day, as Jesus was baptized at the Jordan River, the incredible truth is that God the Father spoke. Jesus the Son was baptized, and for the first time, the Holy Trinity appeared as the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus bodily, like a dove, present with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This was a special miracle, to be sure, which has given each one of us a special model to follow, as we have all been baptized into the fellowship of all believers, receiving new life through the sacrament of holy baptism. Sometimes we need to stop talking long enough to listen to what God wants to do with us. His love and his voice are everlasting. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.